Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 14th, 2016. With me today, Brian Chaffin. And how are you holding up, Brian?
I'm too old for driving to San Francisco for parties, man.
Yeah, I know. It's a rough life. But hey, you got to hang out at the Beard Bash, which I heard was awesome.
It was actually quite fun. Jim Dalrymple threw a fantastic party. Both bands, including Dave Wiskus's
Airplane Mode.
Yeah, Airplane Mode, their original band. They were quite good. And he found a fantastic cover band called... It's such a brilliantly awful name. The Department of Rock.
Awesome. I love it.
It's awesomely bad, and it's perfectly bad for a cover band, but they were just totally on fleek and were fantastic.
That's awesome. And I'm glad you had a good time. And I'm sure that all the attendees appreciate the fact that you didn't actually roll anyone and leave with their WWDC jacket.
I thought about it, man. Bunch of drunk nerds walking around. Like, fine, I'm a nerd too, but I wasn't drunk. And
so you had the advantage.
That's right. I could have had myself a jacket if I wanted it.
Well, maybe next year.
Anyway, good show, but I'm definitely I'm too old for this.
Yes, I'm laughing at you.
I don't even drink.
Hey, John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. My life last night paled in comparison, surviving awesome storm. Rolled to Colorado and shook the place.
Yeah, that you're right. That pales in comparison to hanging out at the Beard Bash.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Especially when you're worried about the power going out and hail on the windows and
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of good times, Atlassian, they're our sponsor this week, which is pretty awesome. We'll talk about them soon. But before we do that, we have more interesting stuff from WWDC, meaning Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, to talk about, because that's what's happening this week. And I thought the first thing we could dive into is something that didn't get any screen time yesterday, but it's still kind of a big announcement, and it's coming down the pipe. It's hitting our way, and it's something called APFS, and it's a new file system to replace HFS Plus, and it's kind of a big deal. John, you've been digging into this some, so can you fill us in?
Sure. As we know, HFS Plus is the follow-on to the original HFS from the original classic Mac OS. Apple updated it. And around 1998, I think, and has been using it as its file system for Mac OS X and now OS X and now Mac OS for the last 15, 16 years. And it's been falling under some criticism lately. Remember, Apple had a brief affair with Sun's ZFS, mm-hmm. and that fell through for various reasons we've discussed before. And a couple years ago, I think Linus Torvalds ripped into HFS Plus, calling it the world's worst file system. And it does have some serious weaknesses. But we don't need to get into the technical details. But what we need to know is that Apple apparently has been working on a new file system, APFS for Apple file system, which will set things right and set the stage for a better future for security on the Macintoshes, fixing some of the nagging details, especially file synchronization timing, which was rather coarse with HFS Plus, and setting the stage for individual file encryption, putting encryption on a better footing. Because Apple, of course, has been very conscious about security lately. And being able to better deal with our transition to SSDs, flash storage memory, and a variety of upgrades to make it a more modern file system for the ages. And my heart is full of joy this morning, hearing about Apple working on a new file system, because that's something us Unix geeks have been hankering for years and years. And now they're doing it. I'm so happy.
Now,
I've got an unrelated question. Can I scoot in with one?
Hop in.
Uh-oh, here it comes. I'm bracing myself.
Hey, John, do you have any sweet jackets? I can. I'm so glad that you're looking into this for us, because it's interesting. Now we have a certain friend of the show by the name of John Keat, who was just in a frothing apoplectic rage.
Oh, the poor guy! I thought he was going to explode with rage yesterday.
And this was in a you know, private thread to discuss tech stuff, but he one of his points of rage was that Apple spent time on Minnie Mouse instead of on announcing the file system. And with all due respect to Mr. Keat, he's wrong. For one thing, Minnie Mouse got headlines, and a new file system isn't going to get headlines. And the new file system is, if as I understand it, John, is it such an early phase? This is like something to tell developers, but
start playing with this for a year or more.
World doesn't really need to know yet.
It's not going to ship with Mac OS Sierra. It's going to take another year of ironing it out. One of the nice features, in the past I have been critical of the aging of Time Machine as well, and this is apparently going to solve a problem there too, because Time Machine uses this awkward system of hard links and kind of is tacked on with security in terms of securing a Time Machine volume. APFS is going to set a firm groundwork here for checkpoints, so that you'll be able to restore in the proper way and go back in time correctly, rather than the kind of kludge system that Apple's been using in Time Machine for a long time. So it solves that problem too, and I'm overjoyed.
Yeah, and from what I understand, you can store a substantially larger number of files on a volume, meaning you can work with substantially larger volumes.
Quintillions of files on a volume. Yeah,
that's a lot of files.
Something like that.
That's a lot of files. It's a little bit of future-proofing. And this is also, by the way, this is one of those reasons. Apple's clearly been working on this for a while, and yet we haven't had even a breath of rumor on it. It's one of those software things, right, that Apple can actually keep secret, which is, you know, that's one thing. But then the other thing is, this is one of the reasons why when people say that Apple's not doing anything, I say I'm perfectly comfortable with the idea that Apple is doing something.
Sure. And just to jump back briefly, the fact that this was not mentioned during the keynote and Minnie Mouse was, I'm with you, Brian, totally appropriate, because that was the public keynote. That's the keynote where Apple shows off the flashy things that are going to get headlines, are going to get people excited. And then they do a second big event, a second keynote, if you will, that's just for developers that paid to go to developer conference, and it's done under a non-disclosure agreement, and that's the one where they would probably have talked about APFS.
Right. I agree with you. John the Nerd absolutely agrees with you, because the whole world's watching the keynote, especially all the youth who use iPhones, and they want to know the latest things about messaging and all the things they're going to be able to do with communication with their friends. They couldn't care less about the file system until it impacts, you know, perhaps security of their Mac down the line. But other than that, it's too nerdy. But all the nerds of the world are in joy this morning.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, of course, is that this news is spread. Anyone who's interested in this news is going to be finding out about it. But the other thing is that this is something that Apple will announce at some point, right? Publicly. Yeah. Right. This will be part of a keynote when this new file system is ready to go. Apple's going to be talking about it.
I'll make a prediction.
Go ahead, yeah. John.
I predict that, of course, we know it won't ship with macOS Sierra, but I think what will happen is that it'll ship with the next version of macOS in maybe September of 2017 as a way to format your external drives, and that new Macs will ship with it, pre-installed, but if you want to migrate your Sierra system to this new file system, you'll have to do a clean install and reformat your drive. That's my prediction. So it's going to be a phased process.
Yeah, I don't think you're right there. Apple rips off Band-Aids when it comes to these things. Apple rips off Band-Aids and then says, suck it up, buttercup.
Yeah, well, you start ripping off Band-Aids and file systems, you get wounded.
Fair enough. They did it the last time when they rolled HFS Plus.
Yeah, I don't even remember that process. It was so long ago.
Yeah, I can't remember it either. I just remember that I wasn't wailing and gnashing teeth.
I don't think we had to reformat our drives. I think HFS Plus was an upgrade that added a lot of metadata capability. And I think that it wasn't as big a deal as this is going to be in terms of the mechanics.
And you certainly could be right. But the thing about Apple not spending keynote time on this is this was one of the more important technical developments to come from Apple in a long time.
Well, it comes along at just the right time too. Apple was prescient in starting this probably 2 or 3 years ago, working on this, and they may have been bitten by the sting of Linus Torvalds' comments a few years ago about HFS Plus. Well, I mean, Linus Torvalds made some astute technical comments that were right on and have percolated through the community for a while and have contributed to some belly aching behind the scenes about Apple getting on with things and finally dumping HFS Plus. So that became sort of a pulse of the technical community, and we were harking for a new file system, and it comes along at just the right time because of Apple's focus on privacy and security for the phone, but it wasn't so much for Macs. And with the emergence of SSDs and some of the tricky things about erasing SSD-based Mac before you sell it, and some of the issues with people not using file vault uniformly, APFS is going to provide a really good foundation for having rock-solid security and privacy on your Mac, on par with the iPhone.
And John, you're far too much of a gentleman to point out that you predicted this would be coming.
Well, I don't know if I predicted it, but an article which I put in the show notes a couple months ago, I did talk about some of the things we were expecting in OS 10.12 before we knew it would be Mac OS. And a new file system is something I mentioned because I had been doing that research and listening to the community about, wanting a new file system. And we didn't get it in Yosemite, and we didn't get it in El Capitan. And then there was some, when's it going to happen? And now we got it. Yay.
Yeah. So, but just to be clear, the likelihood this will be part of macOS Sierra for the public release when it comes out this fall is almost zero.
It is zero.
Yes. Okay. So this is something for next year, macOS West Hollywood.
Mojave.
Alcatraz. I'm still pulling for Alcatraz.
I really want it to be West Hollywood because it'll be fabulous. Anyhow, hey, we have more to talk about. But before we do that, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Atlassian. And Atlassian is the company that's behind the developer tools that a lot of people are using, like Bitbucket for keeping track of all of your code, managing and reviewing your code in real time, working on projects together, meaning collaboration. And then they also have the really awesome tool HipChat, which lets the people on your team talk with each other in real time, and you can do text and video chatting with your other team members. So it's a really nice tool to use in conjunction with Bitbucket because you need to work on your code and you need to talk about it. And the pieces that Atlassian makes, they all just fit together seamlessly, so you can use what you need, whether it's one or two tools or all of their tools. The other two they make, Jira, which is for assigning tasks and tracking and managing those, and Confluence, which lets you create and share content and you put all these pieces together and you have a whole package for taking care of every project you need to work on. So that's Atlassian. Go check out their website, atlassian.com, atlassian.com. And thanks, Atlassian, for being our sponsor. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about is something that I'm actually really curious about. So, Brian, when you got your Apple Watch, you started wearing it all the time, and you like it, but it's not something that you feel is, like, really over-the-top feature-wise.
Well, yeah, I've said it that I like it, but I don't love it.
Right.
And that hasn't changed for me until, well, it still hasn't changed technically, but I got a glimmer of maybe starting to love it from watchOS 3.
And that's why I wanted to talk to you today, because I'm curious, what is it about watchOS 3 that has piqued your interest and has you thinking that this may take Apple Watch from an I like it device to an I love it device?
Well, it's on the sort of like very surfacey side, there is the activity watch face.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that looked fantastic, and several of the watch faces that Apple was showing were very interesting to me. I don't actually have a watch face on my current Apple Watch that I love, not even close. So that could be something that will improve its enjoyment value for me. But then there were some of the technical things too, and my overall impression that I think what I said during live coverage was that watchOS 3 may finally make Apple Watch come alive. I've got stronger memories of that feeling than I do of the specifics. But on the technical side, we've got the, you know, much faster launching of apps. We've got the
background refreshing.
The background refreshing and there were definitely some other
control center
showing.
Control up for control,
yep,
center.
That seemed excellent. Just a lot of added utility that Apple is bringing to the table with this, or seems to be bringing to the table. We haven't actually played with this yet.
Not yet, but the day is young.
What they didn't show during the keynote, and I hope is in there somewhere, is a final concession to hours, minutes, and seconds digitally in the astronomy phase. There is no way to get hours, minutes, and seconds unless you go to an analog phase with a sweep second hand or the chronograph. So maybe they'll fulfill my last wish.
We can live in hope.
Yes, hope springs eternal.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that it looks like Apple Watch is getting a major upgrade without requiring us to buy new watches. And I know there's some people that just really want the new watch hardware to come out, but I like that Apple has basically looked at the list of everything that annoys us about using our Apple Watches and said, all right, that's what we need to address.
And sure, you know, there's a feedback mechanism within OS X and iOS that allows Apple to catalog the features that you use and do not use. And that's put into some sort of trackable database where they can say, well, this feature is hardly being used at all. And this is the most popular. That's probably why there's this emphasis on health and fitness. That's something that's turned me on about my watch, is tracking my steps, tracking my workouts, tracking my standing hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been a real boon for me. And that's just one of the reasons why I love my Apple Watch. And I suspect that this emerging usage pattern amongst the users is driving this focus on health and fitness. And it's just going to get better.
That's what I'm assuming. And I'm also assuming features that are going away are features that people really weren't using. And I'm looking specifically at favorites, your favorite contacts. I'm guessing since that appears to just be gone, that people really weren't using that for anything on their watches.
I use my watch as an incoming data device, not an outgoing hailing device. For me, that's just how I use it. And I think maybe that's how a lot of other users use it too. They respond to texts. They respond to incoming information, text messages, credit card billings, Apple Pay notices, health and fitness data. It's a tool in my mind that helps you quickly absorb information rather than being an outbound communication.
So it's a reactive as opposed to proactive.
Right.
Device.
I think it'll get there in the future. In the future, as the hardware improves, you'll be able to easily do outbound calls, which you can do now. But
to be fair, you still think that Apple's going to add actual usable battery life.
Yeah, there is that.
Well, they're going to make the next version of the watch thinner. They make the battery smaller, but it'll have twice the battery life, violating every law of physics.
LOL.
Oh, that's so cute. Hey, we're pretty much out of time, but Brian, was there anything else you wanted to add, since I was really focusing on you with your new interest in Apple Watch?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. WatchOS 3 looks really, really interesting. It's possible that it's going to bring a lot of utility. That's the thing. If it increases the amount of utility in Apple Watch, it will be a very good thing, and it will probably capture more of my interest. It remains to be seen if that's going to be the case. That's like the longest I've ever had a train ever honk its horn.
That's your ride, Brian. I think they're here for you.
Yeah, hobo time. Gang. Yeah.
Well, since your train's here, I think that's a good place for us to wrap up.
I'm going to mute.
Brian, thanks for being here. And I know I just said thank you to you right as you muted. Sorry about that. John, thank you for being here as well.
You're welcome.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. And Atlassian, thanks for being our sponsor. Check them out at atlassian.com. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.